like them fast.
Jimmy's, this is episode 9-1. We are fresh off of a 36-26 Niners victory over the Cardinals. 49ers cover, that is. I'm joined by Blake Murphy from Revenge of the Birds. Blake was with me this time last, a couple weeks ago when the 49ers played the Cardinals. Blake, what's going on, man?
Hey, it's good to be back at least. I know it's been kind of a very similar game ending, it feels like, in a couple of different cases. You have the Cardinals playing very tough Niners opponent, hold their own, and ultimately comes down to defensive issues at the end, a particular nasty call, which we'll be able to get into. And a lot of fans, I think, could have probably taken one of these games, but to have two back-to-back, there's a lot of angry people right now, whether that's on Arizona radio or on Twitter. So it'll be interesting to see what goes on as the Cardinals head into their bye week. They've lost four in a row now. The team, for the most part, just feels kind of crushed, at least just for the way that this game ultimately turned out. But the Niners, it's looking like 9-1 and having a huge game next week against the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, yeah, they have a gauntlet coming up here. So they have the Packers, they have the Saints, they have the Rams. And honestly, you can make an argument that the rest of the games on their schedule will be difficult. But we're going to keep it with Arizona. And I really don't like talking about just the refs, but man, were they bad today. So let's take it there. Overall, during this game, there were a lot of penalties. So the Cardinals had 10. The 49ers had 10 penalties. 104 yards in penalties for the Cardinals, 127 for the 49ers. There were some phantom calls, no doubt. And I, like I mentioned, I don't really like talking about just the referees in general, but some of the calls were just awful. Weston Richburg had a holding call that took away a penalty, did nothing wrong. If you watch that play, Jeff Schwartz of SB Nation tweeted this out, that like he's moving his play. He's a former offensive lineman in the NFL. He's moving his feet the entire time. I'm not sure what he does wrong in that play. And I mean, we can go back and forth. What was the most egregious penalty that you saw in this game today?
Yeah, the biggest one overall was the coverage that was called for a defensive pass interference. I believe it was down the field with Joe Walker. That was a play overall that was a huge turning point in the game for the Cards with the coverage. Now, some maybe you could argue if he turns his head around a little quicker, but overall, it looked very textbook for the most part. Ended up giving the Niners a much needed first down, I believe a third down play call. It was just a case where the overall feeling of the game was just the refs didn't seem to know what was a DPI and what was not, was the overall feeling. And as a result, it had a lot of these multiple game-changing plays from coverage that really I think it shouldn't have come down to overall.
Yeah, that was to Kyle Juszczyk, 49ers all, everything, fullback. He pretty much played a lot of the Kittle role today, actually. But down the sideline, I did think he did a good job of fighting for the ball and kind of forcing the referee to make that call, but it wasn't a good call. And some of the 49ers fans tweeted out that it was a makeup call just because that was right after, I believe it was right after that penalty play from Richburg. But yeah, man, just over and over, some of the calls, just head-scratching calls. What are they doing? You mentioned that there was a overturned pass interference, which was very rare what we've seen this NFL season.
Yeah, I was like, oh, Cliff, why are you, like, you're going to throw the flag on that because you want to stand up for your team, but it's like, why are you wasting a flag? We even saw this again, I think, similarly in the end of last week's game where Cliff Kingsbury threw the flag on a spot foul, something that's almost never overturned, or excuse me, a ball spot to see if, I believe it was Tevin Coleman, was going to be short of the line to gain for a first down. It's just, we've never seen those calls overturned, even when it's obvious DPI. There's a penalty in the end zone just today on, was not called on DeAndre Hopkins, where the ball was a very clear example, almost textbook. And as a result, it's like, well, if that's going to be the standard, you're assuming that they're just not going to call it. And instead, it ends up giving the Cardinals a first down. It's historic because it's the first time I think we've even seen it in the NFL this season. Give the Cardinals at least new life on that down. I believe they're able to go and at least convert it and turn that into points. But it was just a weird case because it was a bizarre turn in terms of there's not a good, clear definition of what the referees are out there calling. And as a result, we're now reaching a point where I don't know if it's going to be a DPI or not, for the most part, at least, or if you're going to be calling calling what is a catch, essentially. It's kind of reaching that level of confusion in the NFL. And it's frustrating because what you want, obviously, is for a fair contest between the two teams as much as possible without having to have you know, feeling like the referees are against your team on either side. And I think both Cardinals and Niners fans felt like there were calls that went toward the other team that were not necessarily even.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's easy just to get caught up in, you know, fanboy mode and think that your team's being cheated out. But I feel like both teams have a pretty fair gripe in this one that, you know, just like we mentioned, just points are being taken off of the board. You're losing out possession. So really tough. Let's move on. So let's move on to the quarterback. So Jimmy Garoppolo, 34 of 45, 424 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Garoppolo has gone over 300 yards twice this season, both of them against your beloved Cardinals. Kyler Murray, 24 of 33, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns. It felt like he did more than that, but he also had 67 yards on the ground and a touchdown, and he just seems like he's really in control. They don't have a ton of playmakers around him. Garoppolo, man, he is, I think we're finding out just the kind of player he is. It's going to be a roller coaster. It seems like the majority of his interceptions are the same. He's struggling to see that underneath defender. The one to Ross Dwelly that pretty much kept the Cardinals in the game, that was high and away, and you just can't miss high over the middle because somebody's going to get their hands on it. This one happened to be Dwelly. Now, we saw some people in the Niners Nation's Twitter handle, some of the mentions were blaming it on Dwelly, which at some point, you guys, we're going to have to take the kid gloves off of Jimmy G and just talk about him as the player who he is. And he's going to turn the ball over. Like, there's the sample size of this season tells us that. It's just is what it is at this point. He's going to move the ball as well. He's going to make plays. He does a really good job, in my opinion, of using his legs and keeping the play alive. There's a few plays where he did that today, and he's done that all game, all season. But, yeah, let's talk about the quarterbacks. How did you feel like Kyler played today?
Yeah, Kyler, if you're looking at how – I think some of it that you have to also take into account is how poor the Cardinals' offense and defense has been, which is unfortunate because it showed up kind of a effort. I think there was someone that even mentioned at least overall when you're talking about – how the Niners have played as a defense, especially against the pass this season. There really has been almost no quarterback who's been able to succeed against them. The one exception kind of has been Kyler Murray in that regard. You'd look at least with all of the other quarterbacks against Kyler, they're about 56% of their passes, about 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns, 11 picks, QB rating of 57. Kyler, on the other hand, he's completed 70% of plus of his passes for almost 400 yards. It's almost 7 yards per attempt, which is great. With 4 touchdowns, no picks, a rating of 114, and he rushed for a touchdown today off of a QB keeper at least. It looked like just from the design that it was on. I think you even said Fred Warner. Joey Bosa crashed at least how he was supposed to. The linebacker seemed to miss, and when Kyler's in the open field like that, it's hard to be able to get a hold of him. So he, for what he's been given as far as the talent, has been able to execute. And by not turning the ball over, whereas you saw Garoppolo had the 2 picks, one which was obviously straight to Jordan Hicks, which is unfortunate. Like, just can't make those type of throws. The second one, like you said, was a bit high. It left it up where it was a little bit just dangerous pass for some of those. There's passes that Jimmy's had like that that were dropped earlier in the season. This game, the Cardinals were able to corral that second one, kind of gave them a little bit of life in the end of the game. So I think overall, when you're looking at it, it's kind of where you've got Garoppolo as a guy who's maybe he's skilled with everything that he does as far as the game plan. Like, you look at, I think someone said that he completed a ton of passes down the stretch before that interception, just chunk play after, I think, chunk play for the most part. Now, the Cardinals defense has something to say about that, but the ultimate thing I think in the game came down to he had a quick release on that last blitz from Vance Joseph, which is probably the most controversial aspect for Cardinals fans. Got rid of the ball quick, turns a first down into a touchdown, which could have easily been, you know, a sack or another bad play. So that's one of the areas that you can at least credit both the coach and also the QB, where you don't need to necessarily, you know, go out there and make plays to win the game. He still obviously put up, you know, 400 yards and 4 touchdowns, but granted, against this Cardinals defense, I could probably feel like I could go for, you know, a complete at least a pass on them, which is, you know, not saying a lot because I know my limitations for all that in the NFL. But it's like, yeah, I got to feel like I could at least complete one pass there, right? So, but it does have me concerned a little bit just for down the stretch that unless the defense is able to force more turnovers and win that turnover battle, you're going to see, I think, games that are like this down the season at least. Just because right today, Cardinals had no turnovers at least. The Niners had 2. And that's a big reason why the Cardinals had the lead up until the last play of the game, I think.
Yeah, it is. And this kind of leads us into just Garoppolo, you know, just taking care of the ball. And sometimes, you know, coming back isn't always a good thing, because if they take care of the ball, if there aren't those throws where, you know, two red zone interceptions, just not acceptable. You cannot have that from your quarterback, which is pretty crazy when we're talking about who played better between Garoppolo and Kyler Murray. When you read Garoppolo's stats and he completed 75% of his passes, he threw for 424 yards. Of those 34 completions, 20 of them went for first downs. And we're still, it's tough to overlook those red zone interceptions, because on third down, they were very efficient. They were 6 for 13, like just really good in almost every aspect except those turnovers. And I also think that early on, So the Cardinals had 4 sacks on the day. I feel like one or two of those were on Garoppolo, just because we're used to seeing him buy time with his legs, just move around the pocket or step up or at least put the offense in a position where they gain 1 yard, but that didn't happen. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how he reacts and just how he answers against the Packers. But overall, man, I would still say this is going to be who Garoppolo is until further notice. He's going to make plays, but we're going to have to find a way to eliminate those turnovers, because it is driving people insane. I can only imagine how Shanahan feels about that, or just the team in general. But it is good, I would say, to that, you know, the offense or the team in general is able to bounce back from those turnovers. Shanahan's early play calling, I tweeted about this. So it seemed like he had no trust in the 49ers receivers, or just the players around Garoppolo. The first two drives was like run, run, pass. And that's just not going to work in today's NFL. That's not who Kyle Shanahan is. He is a guy that will scheme something open. And after those first couple drives didn't work, we saw the quick passes of juice to Dwelly, to Debo underneath, where they're using little pick plays, little rub routes, or just quick out routes. And so the 49ers, everybody's talking about, you know, how their running game struggled today. And you have to give the Cardinals a lot of credit, because they did hold the 49ers to nothing. Tevin Coleman, 12 carries, 14 yards. The 49ers only ran for one rushing first down today. That just never happens. They've been the best team in the NFL running-wise for the first 2 months of the season, and that's despite all the injuries. But with Kittle out, we've seen that take a little bit of a large drop off, actually. So I think that throwing the ball 45 times, it looks like Jimmy's throwing the ball a lot, but those quick passes are just an extension of the run plays, and that's just good coaching by Shanahan. He opened it up. He let I don't want to say he let his hair down.
Plays but were very good with the design, where Cardinals were getting way too upfield, and then it was just able to bail a little bit of that pressure out. They didn't have anyone who was near able to stop some of that. So that's kind of poor coaching on the part of the Cardinals. It was a good adjustment, I think, as far as, like you even said, early on in the game, it got into a rhythm. And it also allowed Debo Samuel to kind of put up some mind-boggling stats. I think he played out of his mind, especially today.
He did, and he is really, really good. He is starting to come into his own. There's a second game in a row where Debo went over 100 yards. He finished the game with 8 receptions for 134 yards. The reason that is so big is because there is no Kittle. There was no Emmanuel Sanders for the majority of the game. Sanders tried to fight through a rib injury. He did. Like, he was out there. You can see him struggling, but he couldn't finish the game. And Debo just came through in the clutch, man. And that's what they need. They need somebody to be reliable. And we've talked ad nauseum just all week about the 49ers and the drops they had against Seattle. But there were still drops today, but we saw Samuel just come through in a big, big way. So let's talk about one play that changed the game. What do you think was the real game changer?
For me, honestly, the one that I thought that was interesting was the very beginning of the game. You had basically a touchdown that was overturned, essentially, at least from a pick play by Christian Kirk. It's hard to say that was the one that really changed the game, but if you're looking at the end game stats, that basically means that it would have been a tie game at the end. Instead, it's turned into a field goal. So whenever you're talking about the Cardinals, you always bring up the missed opportunities that they have in the red zone. They're essentially on, I believe, the 5-yard line. That's one of those cases where every time that the Cardinals have been in one of those situations, we've seen it always come back to bite them in the butt down at the end. I also think that with Kingsbury, there was an interesting decision he had on the last touchdown they scored, I believe, to get to, I believe it was 26 points that they had, where They chose not to go for two, where they were, you know, essentially kind of going at least for a tie game. If they did in that case, though, you look at the end game where if San Fran gets stopped and they kick a field goal, essentially you could go in and be able to either get a field goal to tie it, or you're kind of forcing the Niners to have to go for it. And Cliff has been money on the 2-point conversions this year, so it was interesting to kind of see him essentially settle a bit, and I guess you could say trust his defense in that position. Whereas when you've got the chance on offense to essentially give yourself an advantage, you got to take advantage, I think, of some of that. So I think that was the biggest play, obviously, overall, just be if you're continually looking at the red zone struggles. I do think that the last play where the Cardinals had the ball back and a chance where the Niners, I believe, had a sack, DJ Humphries gets beat off the edge. Kyler steps up, AQ Shipley is run over. That was another play where you wish you could kind of take that back, even if you end up to convert that play on third and long. That would have been a huge step forward because then the Cardinals could have tried to go down and get some points. Instead, it turns into a sack. They punt, give it back to the Niners, and it was almost essentially game over after that point for the most part with the offense. So I think those would be kind of, if I had to pick maybe three plays. The biggest one, obviously, is the Cardinals like to shoot themselves in the foot, it seems. It's part of the reason why they're a three, I think it's 3-7-1 team right now, is just because they are unable to kind of convert on early opportunities that they have in the game.
I'm glad you said that because that's the play where I was going. So Garoppolo throws the interception to Ross Dwelly, and late in the fourth quarter, under 4 minutes and 30 seconds to go. So Arizona takes over. So they return the interception, 48 yards. So they have a chance to knock some time off the clock. They only have three plays, minus 6 yards on the possession. That's huge. On the third down, like you mentioned, Bosa beats a man around the edge. Armstead beats his man, and sack minus 11. That was such a huge play to be able to. So the 49ers end up only having to drive 65 yards, and they also took the ball or took over with over 2 minutes to go. So that was pretty big. That allowed them to just do more on offense. So the very first play, they 7 yards to Kendrick Bourne. They go over the middle. They don't have to worry about going out of bounds, wasting a timeout. They get extra timeout. Just little things like that, I felt like was really important. And yeah, even though the defense gave up 26 yards, and there were some plays like Kyler Murray's going to make plays. They gave up a couple longer runs to Murray, and there were a couple plays overall, but I feel like they did a really good job just buckling down when they needed to on third down specifically. And that's what you have to do. Defense nowadays is all about just playing timely defense, getting timely stops. They held Arizona to 3 for 10 on third down. And I mentioned how San Francisco was 6 of 13. So we're seeing the contrast there. Let's talk about, so we kind of talked about the four stats already. So third down, as far as the red zone goes, Arizona was 2 for 3 in the red zone. Teams struggle in the red zone against San Francisco, so that's pretty impressive. San Francisco, who has struggled himself on offense in the red zone, they were 3 for 5. So the touchdown to Ross Dwelly, I believe it was the first one, it was a crossing route. They're running crossing routes, and honestly, every receiver ran a crossing route, just running at different levels. It was really impressive just how you had the defense. If you guys go back and watch the play, somebody was going to be open just based on the play design. It was really impressive. Like, guys are at 5, 7, 12, I believe, and Jimmy G has all day to throw. So that was good in itself. But some of these crossing routes, and that's another, again, just an extension of the running game, really impressive. I like that a lot. Did you have any sort of play call that you were impressed by Cliff today?
Yeah, I was going to go over some of the different stats. The biggest play call, if I had to at least take a look at it, was just how when they were in some of those third and short situations, they always had at least a good enough run call. This is, you know, a tough Niners front. It's been obviously better against the pass. They had a really well-executed, I think, play on one of the clutch third downs that they needed at least that was picked up with Kenyon Drake for a few extra yards that was able to kind of churn down and get to the end. The biggest one I think that was ultimately a disappointment was they had a back shoulder fade to Andy Isabella. There's kind of two fades to Andy Isabella that they ran in this game that was interesting. One was kind of a question, like, why are you running that at the goal line for, you know, a short guy like him? But the other one was a back shoulder throw that was really well designed, but it just was not executed where he didn't turn it around. If he does, then you kind of convert on that third down. You're not kicking the field goal And the Cardinals potentially are able to, with how close they were, put up another touchdown on that game. And instead, you kind of are leaving it around where there is a room for the Niners to make that huge 16-point comeback. So the stats that I picked out that were interesting was the Cardinals were a very balanced team. They had 18 first downs, 9 on the ground, 9 through the air. Niners had only one rushing first down, but had 20 passing first downs, which that just kind of shows when you're at the 31st ranked passing defense, you just are not able to essentially stop them. And Cliff has had a hard time managing, I think, a team that essentially he knows he can't count on, but is still having, I suppose, to have to count on it. The one thing I thought that was interesting with the Niners was the Cardinals sold out to stop the run. There's only 1.8 yards per rush the Niners had in this game. They just could not get anything going, it looked like, especially in the first half. It took to having to use screen passes and some calls, so quick hitters that you'd even talked about. So it was a great job of adjusting by Shanahan. The Cardinals had 5.4 yards per rush, so again, putting up some of those numbers. But in the end, it didn't matter as much because they had about 4.3 yards per play. They were able to at least capitalize off of the game, but ended up being about 6.7 yards per play for the Niners. Once it got into a point where the Niners essentially were like, all right, we have to throw the ball, and the Cardinals have them where they wanted them. Sure, Jimmy G threw two picks. He also threw four touchdowns and had all of these first downs that were there. And so it just shows that the Cardinals philosophically are why people are kind of yelling, hashtag fire Vance and everything in the streets. And the most controversial call that came at the very end of the game was it was just a huge gamble where they all out blitz. Buda Baker essentially has a free shot, it looks like, with how they designed it at Garoppolo. The problem was that if the Niners kick a field goal, you're tied. You get the ball back either for, kind of try a chance or at least get to overtime. All you have to do is just not give up a touchdown. And instead you put Chandler Jones, your best pass rusher, on, a running back. And turns about as predictably as it could be. And the Niners score. Cardinals did not use multiple timeouts to kind of get more time back on the clock ahead of that. Now they're suddenly stuck having to go the whole distance, at least, of the field to, have to get a touchdown to win. It was just a case where you're looking at how the game essentially is managed is, Kingsbury's doing, I think, as much as he can to put the Cardinals in a position to be competitive and to win the game. And in the end, the defense, it feels like, is at least kind of giving up the game. The offense is not there just enough yet to be able to kind of seal wins. It's not a 30-point team that can put up 30 points a week. They've been kind of about 25, 26. And they're a team that can't really seem to hold teams anything lower than probably about 30 points or so right now, which has been kind of their average for the year. So it's disappointing for Cardinals fans overall. I think it's encouraging for Niners fans that they at least are able to take a team like Arizona that comes in, socks them in the face, and they're still able to put them away and keep rolling with a 9-1 season.
Yeah, divisional games are tricky, man. And the 49ers were, I believe they closed at like 9.5 or 10-point favorites. If that's a divisional game, you're just asking for it. But right. Going back to the
Jeff. You got lucky if you're one of those people who took it and got that last fumble, at least that was returned. I was like, oh, some people got bailed out. Some people lost a lot of money.
Never in doubt. But going back to that Jimmy Garoppolo touchdown, the very last one to Jeff Wilson, that play is why Jimmy Garoppolo will be he will continue to be a starter and a good starter in this league, because he does not flinch in the face of pressure. Buda Baker is running down, screaming down his throat full speed, unblocked. Garoppolo hangs in there till the very last minute, lofts the ball over the defender, hits Wilson. Wilson's able to score. But you see that over and over the course of the game. Just Garoppolo not panicking when there are unblocked rushers. He actually does a pretty good job of avoiding him. He's a lot more mobile than he gets credit for. But I think just going back to Arizona's success on the ground against the success through the air, in today's NFL, in 2019, the value of stopping the run just isn't there compared to stopping the pass. Like the 49ers, they're average on defense in the running game. If you just look at some of their numbers, they're like middle of the pack in the rushing defense and a lot of statistics. Where they're not is in passing defense, and they're like elite at probably anything, any passing statistic you can come up with, they're probably top two or three, and they really are that good. And Arizona, another good example. So Arizona ends up averaging 4.3 yards per play. They average 5.7 on, like you mentioned, on the ground, but they just couldn't do much through the air. Like they're dinking and dunking, but eventually if you can't stretch the field, it's going to be tough for you to be successful in the NFL. They average 3.5 yards per pass. They're trying to get it out quick, knowing that the 49ers have a pass rush. So obviously that helps. Right. But
the biggest thing that was the biggest thing that helped the Cardinals in this game was all of the pass interferences that they had with Richard Sherman. They were not afraid to throw with Christian Kirk or at him, but those passes were incomplete. It was just they threw flags at least for interference. And so if those are complete, the yardage total goes up a bit. But it does show ultimately that Niners defense against the pass still held Kyler to under 200 yards, which is really, I don't think that – I think that he, for the most part, is hardly ever under averaged under 200 yards for the most part this season, which is also a testament, I think, to where the Niners are on defense, and it's a good testament to how this team in particular just seems to match up very well with them.
They do, and that's what it's about. I say this all the time. This is a game of matchups, and Kyler Murray, because you have to defend him every play, makes it very difficult. And the Cardinals, like, they have a legitimate run defense, I believe. And we see that just the way that they match up. They're not legitimate might be strong, but just the way that they match up, their guys, their like Chandler Jones, Terrell Suggs, their guys up the middle, they fare well against what the 49ers have. Yeah. But again,
and it's easy when you sell out to stop the run, so that way you're having to leave safeties like way, way back beyond, because you've got so many guys selling out to stop the run. All of a sudden, they leaves a lot of intermediate space open. That's been part of the Vance Joseph criticism, and we've seen that two games in a row now. Garoppolo, I think, has got like almost 1,000 yards all by himself against the Arizona defense, if you look at those numbers.
That is pretty crazy. And that's a good point. Just with the deep safety we're seeing, like Debo, some of his catches over the middle, like 10, 15 yards, and he has a chance to run after the catch. You mentioned the Sherman penalties. So Cardinals had 3 first downs via penalty, and all those came from, obviously, the Sherman pass interference. But I thought that the cornerbacks played well. I thought they did a good job on the receivers, limited the big play. And that's really what you have to do. The reason that the Cardinals kept the last game close is because they were able to hit the big play, whether it was Kenyon Drake running the ball or Andy Isabella late in the game. But
Christian Kirk, I was going to say the other one. Last week he went off for 100, like however many yards it was, and 3 touchdowns, only 6 catches for 41 yards this game. The biggest catch of the game for the Cardinals really came from that big pass play to Farrah Cooper. Kyler had a rusher right in his face. Gorgeous throw for all of that, but it just shows that it was having to crawl and scratch to try to be able to get yards against this Niners pass defense.
One positional battle that really changed the game. I mean, coming into the game, you would think that the 49ers defensive line would have had their way, but they only sacked Kyler twice this game, and obviously those were huge sacks. Armstead won all, but you know, just they got the ball back and allowed them to get in position to win the game. But what was a positional battle that you felt like really changed the game in this one?
I think the biggest one overall was Debo Samuel versus Byron Murphy, where you got the two rookies, was a big one. There was a few times that Debo was able to kind of take advantage with his routes where he got some extra separation. There's another play, I think, where he even had a catch over Patrick Peterson. There's another play over Kevin Peterson. Sometimes it's hard to know who is who with the similar numbers. But that was the biggest, I think, overall mismatch, because Emmanuel Sanders did not look right in the game overall. Like, he was still making some tough catches. I think they even mentioned he came out after a play or two. But Debo stepped up and ended up being a case where the Cardinals secondary were just a step late behind it. And he was able to get some of those yards after a catch. And I would probably say that he's the player of the game overall, would be what I would give it to, because Cardinals didn't have anyone who stepped up like that on their side. If the Cardinals had one player who was able to kind of break through, get a few more, have a long catch at least, or a long run, then all of a sudden it might turn into a totally different game. I think they did get that last game, even the last two games with Andy Isabella. They were not able to, at least this time around, to get that big play.
I agree with you on Debo Samuel and just the receivers in general against the Cardinals defensive backs. And while, you know, there were still, again, drops, we saw Kendrick Bourne in the end zone beat, I believe that was Murphy. He beat him pretty good. He had about 2 or 3 yards of separation at the line of scrimmage. Yep. Emmanuel Sanders was, he had 3 for 33, but again, he had a couple big plays where he was able to convert. And then Debo Samuel, 8 for 134 on 10 targets. And he was just, whether it was Peterson, whether it was Murphy, he was just winning his matchup decisively. And he is becoming a very, very good route runner. I think we're seeing progress from week one to today. Just him learning what he can do and kind of slowing down. And it's allowing him to play faster, just learning the nuance of the game. And Richie James, we have to show some love to Richie James, because he only had one catch, 57 yards on a screenplay. And fans are going to be wondering, like, where the hell has this guy been? Because the 49ers have not had much help outside of Sanders and Samuel. But when you see the type of explosiveness that James has. You guys saw him in the open field, man. He's faster than everybody else. He's a punt returner for a reason. He's really good in the open field. So I'll be interested to see if there is a bigger role for him. But yeah, the 49ers, just they outplayed them. They outplayed the Cardinals on the perimeter, and that's what they need. So I'm actually going to go in this in the same direction. I'm going to say Deebo Samuel was the player of the game. He didn't have, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo obviously had the big numbers. He had four touchdowns. You just can't take that away. But I think Samuel did a good job of coming up big when the 49ers needed him the most. And again, it's not going to be 80-yard plays, 60-yard plays, but he's just consistent in moving the ball. And he's just such a tank to bring down, man. He is very difficult to tackle, whether it's a linebacker, whether it's a defensive back. So, and another reason he gets a nod is because obviously Garoppolo had those two throws that led to, you know, some of the Cardinals points. So, Blake, man, thanks for joining me. What do you give me an outlook? What do you have a season prediction for the Cardinals? Where do they finish out?
Gosh, like, I feel like the team, you feel like that right now, it just really depends on what goes on the defensive side. Because my prediction when I came into this game, I said, was I feel like the Cardinals are probably going to be the maybe not better team, but the more effective team today in how they're playing. But I do not trust their defense to be able to come away with a win. And that's pretty much exactly how it played out for the most part, with the Cardinals getting up big, defense letting the Niners back in the game, the Cardinals scoring and taking the lead. And then the Niners essentially being able to move down the field and get that game-ending touchdown overall. Right now, just it's hard to know. At least this is a team that I feel like that you could trot out and be able to get kind of a clutch field goal win against a team like the Seahawks or even against a team like the Rams. And you also feel like they could, you know, give up 400 passing yards to Mason Rudolph the very next day. So I think that right now the goal that we had for Cardinals fans, I think, was aiming at 6 wins. It's probably been dropped down to a goal of 5. I really think that there's going to be a lot of changes that happen if they're not able to win both of those games against the Browns and the Steelers. Just because both those games are at home, those two offenses have looked miserable. Both their defenses have been fine, but those are kind of the two games that are left. So I think you'd hope for the Cardinals to at least win one of those games and then pick up another game against either the Rams or the Seahawks and hopefully end up with I believe that would be a... Is it 5-10-1 season? My fear overall, at least, is that things are just going to continue on this trend where you're talking about a 3-4 win season. And it's not that much of an improvement over the year previously, which, if we're going to be fair right now, that's kind of how the team has looked. It's been all Kyler. It's been all Cliff, as how you've felt for the most part. Everything else has looked very similar to that 2018 Cardinals team that was, you know, the worst team overall in the National Football League. Granted, their defense was better, so... It's hard when you have people who are saying that they miss Steve Wilkes on the timeline. That's when you know things are really bad on defense. Some fans are like, oh, wish we had Steve Wilkes back over here on defense. Like, well, all right, that's a take, all right.
Yeah, I think that no matter how they finish, it's clear that Arizona is much better than they were a year ago, despite what the record shows. So the 49ers are 9-1. I think they beat the Packers next week. That'll go 10-1. I think that they're going to lose to the Ravens and the Saints on the road. So 10-3. I think they beat the Falcons 11-3. I think they beat the Rams 12-3. I have no idea what happens on the road to end the season against Seattle. So I'm going to save my answer for that. I lean winning just because Seattle keeps getting these lucky fucking wins. It's so annoying that they get every break possible.
Yep.
But I mean, You can't fault them for that. I mean, they take advantage of it, and the 49ers didn't the other night.
You could say that this is kind of a similar game with Arizona with how things turned out, where the Niners took advantage, the Cardinals couldn't, and it's just been a pattern that we've seen overall, at least, where some of those teams, they just seem to get the football that bounces the right way. Some of those teams, like the Cardinals this season, just bounces away from them.
Absolutely. So I'm guessing 12-4, 13-3 to end the season, and if you told anybody that before, they would take that in a heartbeat. Looking at first round bye, looking at a divisional win, NFC win, NFC West divisional win, that is. So after a win today, we will see you guys next week. Blake, where can we follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to following from anyone from Niners, Seahawks. I think the one thing we can always do as far as Cardinals and Niners fans is just kind of, you know, crap on the Seahawks. It's probably the one thing that we can have in common, or at least on the Rams this year, as they're, you know, having to try to multi-million-dollar quarterback Jared Goff out there, just kind of just throw back-breaking interceptions. But I'm at Blake Murphy 7 at least. If you've got any Cardinals, fans who are in the Bay Area, God help you if that's the case. But I'll be always available if you want to have any other times to talk about or see what things look like. Our series is over. It's so weird to think about that we've just had the two games essentially within 3 weeks of each other. There's no further game between these two teams. And got to say, I'm very excited overall for the outlook that the Cardinals have. A lot of their the production of Cliff and Kyler has kind of exposed a lot of the other faults that the team has had. But it does feel like it's a team on the rise, and that's what you like to see, especially when you've got a play caller like Cliff able to go toe-to-toe with a guy like Kyle Shanahan. It makes for a very entertaining game, which is more than we could say about the Cardinals and the Niners last season.
It is, and I don't know if this will develop into a rivalry, but it is fun to just see competitive divisional games. It always makes for just wonky endings. So we've seen that a couple times, and hopefully that these two, I mean, we're talking about two of the smarter offensive minds in the sport. Hopefully we continue to see that. And as you mentioned, man, it'll never get old making fun of Jared Goff and the Chip Kelly clone on the sideline known as Sean McVay. I am Kyle. You can follow me at KP_show, and we will see you next Sunday night.